Chapter 17. The darkness inside the cabin wasn't all that dark at night. Lying on his back on the bed, Ryder stared at the gray-blue rectangle of the window. Shadows of tree limbs swayed in the wind, which itself was causing the fireplace to whistle. The cabin was noticeably colder than it had been earlier. Jeff kept invading Ryder's sleeping space, probably in search for warmth. Ryder sensed that something had changed between Officer Al and Officer Kim. It wasn't that they weren't getting along anymore, but something wasn't right. They seemed stressed. Officer Kim seemed even meaner than usual. The look in his eyes scared Ryder in a way that he'd never been scared before. He and Jeff needed to get out of here. If they didn't, there wasn't a doubt in Ryder's mind that they would die here. He had no idea where they'd go or how they'd get there, but anything was better than just sticking around here and waiting to get killed. What if Jeff wouldn't go? He couldn't drag his brother against his will, but he couldn't leave him either. Could he? What would Kim do to Jeff if Ryder went off on his own? It would be awful, right? To leave him behind would be cowardly and mean. If they hurt him while Ryder was gone, Ryder would never be able to live with himself. But he'd be able to live. Or maybe he'd be doing his little brother a favor by heading out on his own. Jeff would remain in the relative safety of the cabin while Ryder went to get help, wherever that help might be found. But where the hell were they? Where might help be? The thought of getting lost in the woods and dying of frostbite was worse than the thought of dying here. At least the cabin provided some warmth. He supposed they could run to the creepy guys at the top of the hill and ask them for help, but that felt like a bad idea. He thought again about them maybe comparing dick sizes. No. Besides, for all Ryder knew, those guys were buddies with Al and Kim. For sure, they were neighbors. Wait, why would he have to walk through the woods? Clearly, there were roads. They'd seen Officer Al drive away twice, and they'd been driven here in the first place. "I can drive," he proclaimed it aloud to the room, but at a whisper. Jeff stirred beside him.
"What?"
The way he spoke made Ryder believe that his brother wasn't really awake. That bullshit with the shoes and socks had been a good idea. They couldn't walk, but they could drive. Or ride.
Ride. Was there a way to stow away in the back of one of the vehicles, the way people in movies and books stowed away on sailing ships?
No, there wasn't a way to do that. First of all, even if you could be that invisible, the timing would have to be perfect. Climbing aboard just as the vehicle was leaving, all of that while no one noticed that you were missing. An image materialized in his mind, and he shot up straight in the bed, pulling the covers with him. He remembered when Officer Al was getting into the piece-of-shit pickup truck. He pulled down the sun visor, and the keys dropped out. He kept the keys inside the truck.
"No, really," Ryder said with a broadening smile. "I can really drive."
"What are you doing?"
Jeff groaned. He pulled his knees to his chest and rolled over to face away.
"Go to sleep."
"Get up,"
Ryder commanded. He bladed his hand and poked his brother in the ribs next to his spine.
"Jeffy, now, get up."
When Jeff still didn't respond, Ryder grabbed the covers and pulled them all the way down to the base of the mattress.
"Hey! Shh!"
Ryder hissed.
"Are you awake?"
"No, I'm sleep-talking."
"Seriously, are you really awake?"
"Yes."
"Sit up."
"What are—"
"Damn it, Jeff, sit up, please." That time he got through. Jeff pulled his feet under his butt and sat up.
What's wrong?
We're getting out of here.
Jeff pulled back.
What? No! They'll kill us!
We've already talked about that,
Ryder said.
Keep your voice down. You don't have to come with me if you don't want to, but I'm getting out of here.
Tears rimmed Jeff's eyes.
How?
Ryder reminded him of the keys behind the visor.
You don't know how to drive,
Jeff responded. His voice was growing squeaky with emotion.
You can't! I'm leaving, Jeff.
Ryder felt the muscles in his jaw straining as he clenched his teeth and ground them.
Come with me or don't come with me, but I'm leaving. I'm trying anyway.
What am I supposed to do if I stay?
The bluish light of nighttime made Jeff look crazy with his big, shiny eyes and wild, sleep-mussed hair. Ryder sat on the edge of the bed.
I don't know, Jeffy. I really don't know. What I really want is for you to come with me.
Jeff bounced a little on the bed as he thought about it.
When?
Now.
The tears started for real.
No, tomorrow.
Now, Jeff, it has to be now. The guards aren't here now. I don't know where they are, but they're not here.
Where are they?
Someplace else. We don't know where they'll be tomorrow. We don't know what they'll do to us tomorrow either.
He closed his hand around his brother's arm.
Come on, let's go.
Jeff didn't pull away, but he wasn't ready to come along yet either.
Suppose they're just outside the door. They have to be somewhere.
One problem at a time,
Ryder said. They could talk this thing to death if they let themselves.
What if we get caught?
Ryder pulled a little harder.
We won't.
Jeff put his feet on the floor. Progress.
You don't know that.
Then we'll try really hard not to. We need to keep quiet.
Jeff's resistance was melting, and Ryder felt suddenly terrified, like the dog who'd caught the car he'd been chasing. They were really going to do this thing. They were really going to try to run away. Jesus, what if he was wrong and Jeff was right? He could be getting them killed. He wondered if maybe he'd been counting on Jeffy talking him out of this crazy thing. Too late now. Whatever was going to happen, they were on their way to it. Jeff headed to the front door.
No,
Ryder whispered.
They lock that door. They lock everything.
Well, shit, Rye. How are we...
Follow me.
Ryder had checked this out already. He noticed last night as he was cleaning up that they kept the window in the bathroom cracked a little, probably to vent the stink of the compost toilet. If a window was open a little, it could be opened all the way, right? He hadn't bothered to test it while he'd been in there. He didn't want to risk drawing the notice of Officers Al or Kim. What if it broke or squeaked?
We're going to the bathroom?
Jeff asked. He seemed confused. Ryder laughed. It felt good.
You'll see,
he said. Once inside the 6-foot square space, he closed the curtain behind them and pointed to the view of the sky. The window sat high, maybe 4 feet off the ground. It wasn't a regular size, a quarter of the size of a regular window, and it opened by sliding sideways.
That's the way out?
Jeff asked.
We can't fit through there.
Sure we can,
Ryder said. He hoped the determination in his voice would somehow make the words true. In the dark, now that he was looking at it more closely, he wasn't so sure.
Let me give you a boost up. Stand on the toilet.
Why don't you go first?
Because I'm bigger than you and don't need a boost.
Jeff looked like he wanted to argue, but didn't know what to say.
What's on the other side?
Just the garden.
Actually, it was a wannabe garden. a patch of dirt carved out of the grass at the base of the wall. It'll be a drop of about 5 feet, piece of cake. Jeff didn't move as he stared at the opening.
Come on, Jeffy, stand on the toilet. I'll give you a boost from there.
I'm supposed to go out head first?
Ryder considered that.
Want to do feet first instead?
Apparently, he didn't want to do that either. Ryder decided to play a bluff. At least, he hoped it was a bluff.
Okay, get out of the way. I'm going. I'm getting out of here.
He squeezed past Jeff and stepped up onto the seat of the open toilet. From there, he slid the window all the way open. It made way more noise than he'd intended it to.
I thought you said I had to go first,
Jeff said.
Are you going to? Ryder pressed. You're just standing there.
Okay, fine. Get down. I'll do it.
Head first or feet first?
Which do you think is best?
Hell, Jeff, I don't know. I have no choice. I have to go head first. If you want to go the other way, I can hold your shoulders and you can walk up the wall till your feet are out the window.
Jeff stewed for another few seconds.
Screw it. If you're going head first, so can I.
Ryder stepped off the commode to change places with his brother.
Probably the best decision, he said through a smile. The other way, if I lost my grip, your head would have landed in the toilet.
Jeff cast a glance between his feet at the pile of shit and toilet paper.
Gross. Whose is that, anyway? That's not all ours.
Can we talk about that later?
Ryder moved to the other side of the toilet and pressed his back against the wall under the window. He made a stirrup with his hands.
Here.
Jeff braced his arms against the wall, then planted his bare foot in his brother's hands.
Do you want me to just press off, or do you want me to lift you some?
Lift me, but not till I tell you,
Jeff instructed. From this angle, Ryder couldn't see anything but the Jeff Kendall extreme close-up. He couldn't help any way other than listening and responding.
Okay, Jeff said. On three. One, two, three.
At the end of the count, Ryder tried to time his lift to the same instant when his brother pressed off. It seemed too easy. Within 2 seconds, Ryder's hands were empty, and he could see the darkness on the other side of the bathroom. When he looked up, he saw Jeff's legs disappearing through the window and into the night. An instant later, he heard a thump and a groan. Ryder thought about asking if Jeff was all right, then realized he'd find out soon enough.
My turn, he whispered.
As Ryder balanced himself on the rim of the toilet bowl, he wished he hadn't joked about falling into that disgusting mess.
The fence. Oh, Jesus, the fence was topped with barbed wire. How had he forgotten about that?
His whole plan rested on climbing over the chain link. He never did see any of the monitoring crap they'd been told about. He didn't believe that the fence had any electrical anything attached to it. But the barbed wire was very real.
Ryder!
Jeff whisper-shouted from the other side.
What are you doing?
This was a problem. A really big one, too. He should have thought it through more thoroughly.
Ry-Ry! I'm right here, Ryder said. Keep your voice down. I'll be out in a second.
There had to be a way to make this work. The blanket. There was his solution. The blanket from the bed. If he could fold that over on itself, he should be able to pad the barbed wire so that the points wouldn't tear them up.
Ry-Ry! Shut up! I need to get something!
It took 30 seconds for him to scurry back to the bed, grab the blanket, and return. He stood back atop the commode and scrunched the blanket into a ball in his hands and stuffed it into the opening. He kept shoving until it disappeared into the night. And now it was his turn. Reaching across to the window, he pushed his arms through the opening, but only as far as his elbows.
Oh, Christ, he thought.
Am I going to need a boost, too? Stupid thought, because it wasn't an option.
Okay, he told himself aloud. If you're going to do this thing, do it.
Curling his toes over the outside edge of the bowl for additional grip, he pulled back a little from the window to bend his knees. With his arms outstretched, the way he did when he played Superman as a toddler, he launched himself toward the opening. His head and one arm went through clean, while his shoulder impacted with part of the frame that was still closed. Something snapped, but he was pretty sure it was part of the window and not part of him.
"God, Rye," Jeff whispered, "why don't you make some noise?"
"Pound sand,"
Ryder grunted. With most of his body still inside the window, he was losing his grip on the outside wall. He kicked out with his legs to get some momentum to roll over to the left so he could align the point of his left shoulder with the angle of the window opening.
"Grab my collar," he said to his brother. "Don't let me fall back in."
His shirt pulled tight as Jeff reached up, grabbed two handfuls of fabric, and pulled. The window ledge dug into Ryder's ribs just below his armpits as he kicked out some more and bounced his way farther into the opening. After five or six kicks, his other arm and his shoulder were free, and the rest was easy. He pressed against the outer wall with his arms, and then his hips were free. He fell straight down, but was able to get his hands out to protect his head and turn the tumble into a somersault as Jeff overbalanced and backpedaled into the yard. Something about the absurdity of it all struck them both funny, and they giggled through the pain.
"You know, you're one of the great cat burglars, Marv," Jeff said in his best Joe Pesci, stealing from Home Alone, one of their favorite Christmas movies.
They were in the darkness of the moon shadow cast by the house on exactly the opposite side from where the truck was parked.
"You okay?" Ryder asked.
"Yeah, I guess. You?"
"Sure."
In reality, he felt as if the windowsill had stripped all the meat off his ribcage, and he landed funny on his right shoulder. But it was way too late to worry about that. Ryder scooped up the blanket and led the way as they sneaked around the first corner and paused. He didn't see anybody, and he wasn't sure what he would do if he did see somebody. So far, so good.
"What's the blanket for?"
"You'll see."
Ryder sprinted down the length of the cabin to the other corner, where he stopped again.
"I don't see anything,"
Jeff said as he skidded to a stop behind him.
"Shh."
Ryder didn't see anything either, and this was the moment of no return. He wanted to be really damn 100% sure that nobody was there. It didn't make sense that the guards would be gone. Could they just have disappeared? Maybe they'd just left, gotten tired of doing whatever this was all about, like, "See ya, kids, you'll figure it out sooner or later." Ryder didn't think so. They couldn't have gotten that lucky. The nasty green pickup truck sat just where Officer Al had left it, parked crookedly on the other side of the fence. Now came the really tricky part. Ryder took a huge breath and let it go.
"What's wrong?"
Jeff asked. Ryder shook his head.
"Nothing. Let's do this."
"What about the fence?"
"We climb it."
"Suppose it's electrified?"
Jeff asked.
"Maybe that's why they left us alone."
"No, I checked it earlier today."
"Maybe they only turn it on at night."
"Well, shit."
Ryder hadn't thought of that.
"I guess we'll find out."
He took another deep breath.
"I'll go first. You wait here."
"I'm not waiting anywhere,"
Jeff protested. Bent low at the waist, Ryder sprinted the rest of the way and slid to a halt at the base of the fence. Jeff was with him step by step. When Ryder looked at him, Jeff said,
"You can still go first."
Well, this was it. Why did Jeff have to ask about the damn electricity? Ryder extended his left hand, the one he figured he could most afford to lose, and then touched the metal with his knuckle. He jumped at the feel of the cold metal against his skin and pulled away, but that was nerves.
Anything?
Jeff asked.
No, Ryder said. Help me fold this blanket. It's for the top, the barbed wire.
Jeff cranked his head to look up.
Huh,
he said. He took the edge of the fabric that Ryder had given him and rose to a squat. He duck-walked backward until the fabric was taut, and then they matched the corners and folded the wool swatch lengthwise and then over again on itself. When they were done, they had a fairly neat rectangle that measured about 3 feet by 4 feet.
"Hand this to me after I'm climbing, okay?"
Ryder asked. He heard the tremble in his voice, the fear. Jeff didn't answer, but Ryder could see his head bobbing in the moonlight. Ryder took a huge breath and touched the fence one more time with the back of his hand. His shoulders sagged with relief.
"We're good."
The metal diamonds of the chain links hurt Ryder's toes as he stuck them through and used the openings as ladder rungs. His hands hurt too, but not as much, so he tried to make them do most of the work. He cringed against the noise. The sound of rattling chain links was so distinctive that it could not be mistaken for anything else. If officers Al and Kim were anywhere near, they'd know exactly what was going on. He was about halfway to the top of the 10-foot-plus climb when he looked back and saw Jeff on the ground, holding the folded blanket over his head. Unsure whether he was quite high enough, Ryder climbed one more stride, then reached back and down. He clenched the near edge of the blanket into his fist, and then, using his whole arm with the elbow locked, he slung it up so the middle of the fabric rectangle would drape over the line of wire. It worked on the first try.
"That's good,"
Jeff whispered from below. Ryder resumed his climb. As he got to the top, he gripped the blanket with both hands where it crossed over the wire and did a foot-assisted pull-up until he could press straight up to an elbow lock. It wasn't until he flung his leg over and was straddling the cross rail that he realized the vulnerability of his nutsack. He brought his second leg over without incident, and as he was on his way down the other side, he saw that Jeff had already started his climb. They passed face to face.
"Try not to tear your dick off at the top."
20 seconds later, Ryder was on the ground, and 10 seconds after that, his brother was with him.
"We can do this,"
Ryder said aloud, and he believed it, maybe for the first time. All they needed was for a couple more things to go right. If they could pull that off, they'd be on their way to somewhere. Where exactly was a problem for later.
"Hurry, Jeff,"
he whispered. It no longer made sense to move carefully or to be super quiet. What mattered now was to move fast. He darted to the driver's door and nearly cheered when it pulled open. The dome light filled the interior with a dull yellow glow that somehow seemed brighter than noonday sun. He scooted onto the seat and closed the door harder than he wanted to.
"Shit! Get in quick, Jeffy!"
The light popped on again as Jeff pulled open the other door. In the brief seconds that it was on, Ryder pulled on the sun visor. Just as he'd hoped, just as he'd prayed, a set of keys dropped toward his lap. He bobbled them once, then caught them. Jeff's door closed as Ryder slipped a key into the slot on the right side of the steering column. He twisted the key. Nothing moved.
"What's wrong?"
Jeff asked. Ryder tried again. Everything felt frozen.
"I don't know. Are you sure it's the right key?"
He wasn't sure of anything. He withdrew that key and tried the second one on the ring, but that one wouldn't even go into the slot.
"Jesus, Rye, it has to work," No shit.
He went back to the original key, slid it into the slot. Still nothing. Jeff started to cry again.
Oh, Jesus, Rye! What's wrong? We have to leave now!
Ryder didn't answer.
Think,
he told himself. There has to be a way. A friggin' key is a friggin' key. There are only so many things that can go wrong.
Maybe it needs to be in neutral,
Ryder said, as if he really knew what that meant. Oh, and by the way, where the hell was the gear shifter?
Open your door again, he said.
Jeff whined.
The light will come back on.
That's what I need. I can't see anything here.
I thought you said you could drive.
Really? Ryder said.
Open the goddamn door.
The door clicked, and the light came on again. The gear shift was rooted in the middle of the floor, between their seats. It was marked PRND12. That meant it was an automatic transmission, which meant that it didn't have a clutch, and clutches were what new drivers always had difficulty with. Another sign just above the letter P read, Depress brake pedal to shift.
Got it,
Ryder announced. No brake, no motor. He pressed the brake pedal and turned the key again. The engine turned and caught.
Yes!
Jeff closed his door and searched for his seatbelt. Old habits. Ryder didn't give a flying shit about his seatbelt. With the brake pedal still down, he pulled the gear shift down to R and hit the gas. They spewed gravel and launched backward. With the wheel turned the way it was, the tailgate smashed into the fence. Christ, now they might as well have been playing a trumpet to announce that they were escaping. Pulling the shifter from P down to D, he hit the gas again, and they launched forward. Ryder thought he could see the outline of the driveway through the darkness, and he aimed for it, over-controlling wildly from side to side.
Turn on the lights! Jeff said. No, they'll see.
He didn't bother to mention that he had no idea where the light switch was.
You're going too fast!
Ryder hit the brakes again and slammed himself into the steering wheel. The pedals were way more sensitive than he'd imagined them to be. This time, when he pressed the pedal, he did it gently, and the truck eased forward. The driveway, the road leading to the front of the cabin, wasn't paved, but rather covered with gravel. That gave Ryder a gray path to follow into the woods that seemed to swallow them whole.
Do you think this is the way they brought us in?
Jeff asked.
I think it would have to be,
Ryder replied. It's the only...
Oh, shit!
Jeff spoke his words for him. Ahead, about 20 yards, a steel gate blocked the road. It looked to be constructed of stout metal, the same kind of chain link as around the yard, but reinforced with thick cross pieces that formed an X on the far side. Ryder stood on the brakes to stop the truck.
Oh, God, Rye, what do we do now?
Before he could form an answer, Ryder's door jerked open. A dark stain of a man grabbed him by his shirt collar and his belt buckle and dragged him from behind the steering wheel. For a second, he was airborne. Then his back smashed into the trunk of a tree.